So the Sheikh says, the question, you said that one passing sometimes invalidates the Salah. So what exactly invalidates the Salah? The answer, among the things that invalidate the Salah by their passing are al-shaytan, number two, al-kalbul aswad, the black dog, number three, himar, a donkey, and number four, al-ha'id, the woman who has reached menses or she has reached puberty, meaning she has either seminal emission, or number two, she has hair on her private parts or her underarm, or number three, she has reached menses, or number four, she's reached the age of between 14 and 16. Any one of those four things that come, she's in puberty. Number one, she has menses. If she didn't get menses and she's 9 years old and she has hair under her arms or on her private parts, she's reached puberty. If she's 8 years old and she has no menses and she has no hair on her private parts on her underarms and she has wet dreams, some type of seminal emission, she's reached puberty, even if she's 8 years old. Or if none of those things have come and she has a menses, then she's reached puberty. Or if none of those things have come and she reaches 14, now she's in puberty. If none of those things come and she's 13, according to the ulama, she hasn't reached puberty. If none of those things have come and she's 13 years of age, then she has not reached puberty. But I'd like to make a special note. If she's 13 years old, on the Gregorian calendar, she's probably reached puberty. Because if she's 13 on the Christian calendar, she's probably 14 or 14 and a half in actuality. Because the Islamic calendar is going to make her at least a year older. For instance, I'm 43 on the Gregorian calendar. On the Muslim calendar, I'm 45. And that's the age I give everybody. I'm 45 years old. Because I use the Islamic calendar. So if she's 13, she's probably no less than 14, no more than 15 and a half. Alright? The evidence of this, or in support of this, is taken from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that, oh excuse me, by the way, that also goes for the boys. It also goes for the boys, except for, of course, the menses. And if that happens, please let me know. This is taken from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the sutra, in which he said, let him draw close to it and do not let shaitan break his salah. And from the hadith where he said, indeed, a malicious jinn pounced on me last night trying to break my salah, which is in Muslim. And another narration, it says, indeed, shaitan wanted to pass in front of me, so I choked him until I felt the coldness of his tongue on my hand. Right? Which is a proof in itself, within itself, that the jinn is not a human being. That the jinn is not a human being. That the jinn is a real creature. So the Prophet caught him in the salah, and was going to tie him to the pole so the children of Medina can play with him and juggle with him, as we said. Alright? Also, the Sheikh says, preventing shaitan from breaking one salah, therefore, is done by drawing close to the sutra, as was mentioned in the previous hadith. Preventing other than shaitan is achieved by repulsion or by the placing of a sutra from the type mentioned before in front of you. The Messenger of Allah said in the hadith in Muslim, a woman, a donkey, and a dog all invalidate the salah if they pass in front of the person performing the salah. And this is prevented by placing something similar in the size to the rear of end of a camel's saddle in front of you. He also said in the hadith collected by Ahmed and Abu Dawood, salah is invalidated by the passing of a black dog or a menstruating woman. I'd like to make a point here. If a dog comes in front of you, and that dog is black and has a white nose, or it has a white spot, or it has brown or gray, that's not the dog that the Prophet is talking about, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The dog that the Prophet is talking about, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a completely black dog. That completely black dog is the shaitan from the dog. If it's not completely black and has different colors, that's not the dog the Prophet is talking about. That needs to be made known. Because some people might think it's any dog that's black and has two tones, for instance. No, it's a completely black dog, because the shaitan from among the dogs is that dog. Alright? It was reported by Abdullah ibn Samid that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, if any of you wishes to perform salah, he is indeed shielded if he has in front of him something the size of the rear end of a camel saddle. If there isn't something that the size of the rear end of a camel saddle in front of him, however, then the passing of a donkey, a woman, or a black dog can invalidate his salah. I said, oh Abu Dharr, what is it with a black dog as opposed to a red or a yellow dog? And I know many of you would probably like to see a yellow dog, right? Wouldn't you like to see a yellow dog? No? He said, oh my son of my brother, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just as you have asked me. And he said, a black dog is shaitan. Like the Bayman Muslim. And another version is said by Ibn Khuzaymah, salah is repeated due to the passing of a donkey, a woman, or a black dog. Meaning, you have to make your salah over. This does not apply, however, if these things mentioned above are in front of the person performing the salah, but not moving across him. This needs to be made known, brothers. This needs to be made known. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the salah in front of a bed with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha lying on it, as is mentioned in the hadith in question number 13 coming. In addition, Maymuna, the other wife, our mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam used to pray while I used to sleep behind him during my periods, meaning my menses, and in prostration, his garment used to touch me. This hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari. So that means, to give you a general idea, that means if I'm praying like this,
I can do this. Right? Or I can stay right here. No problem. I just can't pass in front of it. Which is what it means by passing in front of it. Going this way. And this way. And if I'm passing even here, which is farther than the distance of this footprint, even if there's another footprint, it's okay. Or pass the other, the footprint is right here, I can go on this way. Okay, so then it's moving into the footprint. But if it has no footprint, I can still go over here because the distance. Right. The distance of his foot, not beyond that. See? But the distance is, he should be able to stick his arm out. That's the distance right there. If I'm right here, he's not going to move like this. Hey, where's your right? And thank you very much.
Okay, question number 13. And this is only one more question left after this. Is it permissible to touch or push one's wife while in prostration in order to prostrate properly? Answer, yes. This is evident from the hadith that's collected by Imam al-Bukhari, narrated by our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It is not good that you people have made us, meaning the women, equal to dogs and donkeys. No doubt, I saw Allah's apostle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that word apostle threw me off. That's why I said, radiallahu anhu. I'm not used to saying apostle. I saw Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praying while I used to lie between him and the Qibla, and when he wanted to prostrate, he pushed my leg and I withdrew them. This hadith is a tremendous hadith. From the hadith, the wording of the hadith, we understand it that the Prophet was like this.
We'll say they don't believe the hadith of this. Right? Right? The Prophet was right here. He wanted to make sense that he would tap her leg like this. Like he's going to make that. You do this? Huh? And then, and he makes that. He put it down again, and he'll come up. If you know why this happened? Anybody know what he was trying to do with the same gun? Yeah, because his house was probably the size of some of your bathrooms. The Messenger of Allah's house was probably the size of some of the closets that you have in your home. Some of your walk-in closets are probably bigger than Rasulullah's house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't have a lot of room. Right? Not like us today. Allahu Akbar. And last, at the last question, number 14, is there any difference between a man and a woman concerning what was mentioned here? The answer is no. There's no difference between
a man and a woman concerning all that was mentioned here. Thus, the previous rulings apply to both men and women, and this is what we mentioned before. Every issue in Islam deals with men and women unless there's a text that separates the men from the women. We take this position due to the lack of evidence suggesting otherwise. The Sheikh then says, this topic has been dealt with in some detail in the author's book. Rulings pertaining to the sutra in Mecca and elsewhere, and the verdict on passing in front of the persons performing salat, which is the name of the book, أحكام السطرة في مكة وغيرها وحكم المرور بين يدي المصلي. He says, of some of 184 pages in Arabic. Over 184 pages on the subject of sutra. Alright? Question 13, along with his answers, have been added by the translator. It was taken from Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 9, Chapter 19. وهذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. You have some questions. He had his hand up first, and I think then you had your hand up. Right. The people who are making salah and they miss something, so they're completing their prayer. Can you walk in front of them? I think the answer is obvious. It's a major sin to walk in front of anybody making salah. Doesn't make any difference. The person is praying, right? If that person is praying, it's a major sin to walk in front of them. Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam if you can put something in front of a person if they neglected to put a sutra in front of themselves. Allahu A'lam. No, I'm saying Allahu A'lam because I don't have a text to say that you can place something in front of someone. No, he was next. Right. This is between you and the sutra. In other words, that particular thing that you keep, the difference between the woman who has reached puberty or men has menses, the black dog and the donkey, and everything else, is that the other things that walk in front of your prayer, between you and the sutra, doesn't break it. You lose blessing. Right? But if one of those three things comes between it, your salat is invalidated. Alright? Now, the brother's asking the question, can you use the hadith of changing the wrong with your hands by placing something in front of the person who doesn't have a sutra? Once again, I can't answer that because I don't know of any text of someone coming and placing a sutra in front of someone. I don't know. I would be afraid to say yes without a text. Right, but of course, if it's a small child, if the child is only 2 feet high, you know, sort of, it's a, you know, 2-year-old baby or something like that, you can't bend down and stop it. Right? So obviously, you have to try to get as close as you can to your sutra so that child comes behind you. And if you're in a sitting position, in jalsa, right, then you stop it with your hand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know the narration that says that Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was walking around him, in front of him. I know the narrations that Hassan and Hussein used to get on his back. I don't know of any narration of his daughter going around him and getting on his back. I don't know of any. Just because I don't know of it, that doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't exist. All I know is the boys, the grandchildren, not his daughter, the grandchildren getting on his back and him remaining in sajda until they got off his back. Right? But I don't know of any hadith that says that he lets anyone, daughter, son, grandchild, going in front of him. I don't know of any hadith like this. You mean a child going in? This has happened to me before. I was leading the salah, and a child from the masjid, one of the brother's children, got on my back. And the sisters at that time, and we're not going to belabor this because I know people have been here a long time, but this is one of the problems of having the women in another room. Not being where they're supposed to be. The women are supposed to pray behind the men, not in another room. If you have enough space for those women to pray behind the men, they're not supposed to go to another room. What are some of the things that causes problems with that? One of the things is, now, if I'm leading the salah, and the women are upstairs, and I make sajdat tilawa, I make the sajda at the prostration from recitation. Right? Right? You know, there's 15 or 16 places in the Quran where you have to make sajda tilawa. Right? If they don't know it, because they can't see me, they're going to be jammed up upstairs. Alright? Likewise, when this little child got on my back, the sisters downstairs didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what I was doing. They didn't hear any more Allahu Akbar, they didn't hear anything. So they just kept on with their salah. You see? This causes the problem. Right. Yes. Right. That's right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his sabr, in his patience, remained in that position until they finished praying to show kindness to children. He stayed there until they got tired of praying. Huh? Go ahead. Right. No, you use your discretion. If you feel that you can lift that child up, put your hand behind there, you know, and remove that child, no problem. We're just talking about now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his patience with children and his kindness with children. That's the point I'm making right now. I'm away from the salat in a little. But I'm saying that if you have time to do that, I mean, yeah, you might just have to be at work in the next 20 minutes. I mean, you can't do that. But if you have time to do that, then do that. And you'll be rewarded for it. Inshallah, you'll be rewarded for that. Because it shows compassion. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. He's not of us who doesn't show mercy to our young ones. No, excuse me. Somebody lying down, praying. Anybody who's praying has to have a sutra. Chair, lying on their side, blinking their eyes. If you are paraplegic, if you are quadriplegic, is that correct? Quadriplegic? Am I saying that word right? Right. If you're crippled, you're paralyzed in a chair, and you can only move your eyes for salah, you have to have a sutra because you're praying. No one is exempt except for the person who's following the imam, and the imam is a sutra if he has a sutra. The sutra is wajib. If you're praying, you gotta have one. Is that clear? Now. If the imam doesn't pray with a sutra and a child walks in front of him, he has a sutra, sits in front of him, then there's blessings. That becomes devoid of blessing. He doesn't stop the child from going through. I can't sit here and say that the salat is invalid because the child went in front of him. I can't say that. Now, the ulama can tell us that, but I can't say that. Because I'm not one of them, obviously. Now. Oh, yeah, it invalidates it. Everybody. Oh, no. If the dog, and this is Allahu A'lam, if any of those three things, the woman, the black dog, or the himar, the donkey, goes in front and it validates the salah, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best, the people's salah is not invalid, just the imam. To the best of my knowledge, what is my proof? My proof is the hadith in al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the responsibilities of the imam, yusalluna bikum, that they lead you in salah. Either asaba falahum walakum, either akhta'a falakum wa alayhim. If they are correct in their salah, then it is for them and for you. It is for you and for them. if they are correct in their salah. If they are incorrect, they make mistakes, then it is for you and it's against them. That will be the proof I will use. And Allah knows that. Is that it? Naam. Right. You have to demonstrate, you have to show me. How is he lying? What do you mean going that way? The direction is this way, like where you are right here? Okay. So his head is where? And his feet is right here. Uh-huh. And he can't stand up? He can't move. Okay, go ahead. Uh-huh.
And there's another brother praying with
him.
Mm-hmm. And I was able to go to the little, the sutra is right here. And there's a little space right here. Okay, and then you have the rest of the room. Which one is the other way to be?
Is the person who's in the bed who's praying separate? Is there something in between him and the people who are praying? In other words, can they stand together? Can they stand next to that person?
Okay. Right here. I can stand here. Right? But there's not that much space for anyone else to stand in a small space.
So no one can get in there. فَتَّقَ اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. Yeah, that's it. Fear Allah as much as you can. Fear Allah as much as you can. If a person... Yes. Allah knows best. Right, but Allah knows best if the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has... Allah knows best if that salat is going to be broken. I can't say that that person's salat is going to be broken. I don't have... Yeah, but I can't say that. That's what the Messenger of Allah said. But I can't say that. I don't know if that person's salat is going to be broken or not. Yeah, but this is a baghaib. Yeah, I can't say that. That specific person, I can't say your salat is broken. How am I going to know that? I didn't see Shaitan walking in front of him. You understand? I can't answer that. I can answer if I saw a dog walk in front of him, a black dog, or a woman who reached puberty, I can say that. But for the shaitan, I can't speak on that. Right. Now. It's preferred, and Allah knows best, that you can find in the pages of that 184-page book, that you don't use a human being unless that human being knows that they're being used for a sutra. The reason why it's preferred not to use a human being is because if you use the brother that's sitting in front of you in the masjid, he might move. And you don't have a sutra. But if he knows that you're using him as a sutra, then this is something different. Now, this is the last question, inshallah. We will let the sisters and the brothers go, inshallah.
When my children, they're extremely fast, right? And they may be playing like on the side of them. And, I mean, jet right across them. Without me getting the opportunity. I mean, they're of a height where I can grab them or repel them.
Right.
Or stop them, right? I wanted to know, and what I mean by their fast, I wanted to know at what point.
I thought you were going to ask me, is it okay for you to wear roller skates while you're playing or something?
At what point does it become invalid? Is it past this point right here? Meaning, can I stop them here? Or do I have to stop them here? Or what point is it that they're considered...
No, you're supposed to stop them before they cross in front of you.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, like, when you said before about walking, that means that you can step in front of them and walk as long as you don't cross them.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, at what point would it be considered them crossing?
When you know what cross means, when they're about to cross.
What I'm saying is that they're running, and if I grab them here, right, to me this is already passing.
That's right, and that's when you should stop them.
Okay.
So that's when you should stop them. Because you have to assume that they're going to keep going and cross you, not make an L shape, that they're going to make a horizontal line.
So at that point where I can actually still stop them and prevent them.
That's right.
I mean, if they run and I catch them by the
by the back of their skirt or whatever like this and bring them.
You look real serious when you did that. Like you really want to do something to one of those children. I'm not going to pass in front of you, brother, inshallah. Inshallah, this is what we wanted to present tonight. We didn't get a chance, and alhamdulillah, to, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, we didn't get a chance to do al-adab al-mufrad, inshallah, Monday night, we will do al-adab al-mufrad, the sections that we wanted to bring. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, subhanaka wa hamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.